Well, Pinkies, this is the Fey Driver. We are out again for another road of adventures. So let me tell you a little story about love. Once upon a time, an 80-year-old man met a 68-year-old woman and fell in love. So they were so enamored of each other that they decided to get married. So they got married. They had a lovely 1-week honeymoon, and then they realized that maybe they weren't made for each other, and they decided they wanted a divorce. Or I should say, they decided they didn't want to be married any longer. So, along comes Fey to the rescue. So, I'm going to tell you about all of the trials and tribulations of trying to get two people unmarried. In the beginning, after the week that they decided they didn't want to be married, I thought the smartest thing would be to get an annulment of the marriage, because we didn't want to wait the full year. You can get a divorce after being separated for a full year. Nobody wanted to wait, so we attempted to do this marriage annulment routine, which ends up being quite difficult. But the wife, the 1-week wife, was very uncooperative. She didn't want to sign the papers. She wasn't sure what was going on. She said her lawyer counseled her against it, when in fact she never had a lawyer, or she never had proper discussions with a lawyer. It was just all this nonsense and bullshit. So by the time I got the wife to sign the bloody papers, it was about 9 months into the separation, air quotes. So I got, whatever, we got it done. I filed the papers, and then it just turned out that the next step would require lots of doctor's notes and affidavits and evidence and reasons for why they can't be married, and it just turned out to be so convoluted. By the time all of this got figured out, the 1-year separation had come and gone. So then I go, okay, well, let's scrap the annulment idea and just go for a normal standard divorce. Well, it's not that simple, because we've already submitted the documents for an annulment. So I had to do some special write-up, get some special documents written up, which is basically, it's an amendment, it's called, to the original documents. You would think that this can't be that difficult. It's just an amendment, but you know, the courts are very fussy and they want to have very specific wording and details and stuff. So I thought, okay, it's time to consult an expert, because I've been slogging away through this stuff, trying to figure everything out on my own, you know, doing my very due diligence, doing research and what have you. And I thought, okay, I'm not getting any help from the court system, because the court clerks are just assholes. So I attempted to go get some free advice. This is my father we're talking about. I'm not going to spend my money on a lawyer for my father's problems. And my father doesn't have any money. What kind of a son are you, Fey, that you won't foot the bill for this divorce? Anyway, so right near my house, we have our own courthouse. So I went there and I got the free advice from the legal aid system. So I sit and I wait, you know, I take a day out of my life to sit in the lineup for this, the free legal aid. Finally, I sit down and talk to this guy and present the situation, and he goes, oh my goodness, scratches his head. I've never seen anything like this before. What? You've never seen anything like this before? But he says, you know what? You should go to the courthouse over here in this other city in Vancouver. So I go, okay, well, I'll give that a shot. So then I go, you know, I get all organized to go to this one place. In the meantime, which you probably heard on Drive Time to Nopa, Brenda and I were downtown Vancouver, and I thought, well, let's go to the main Vancouver courthouse. You know, it's like a 3-block square, city block square building that has everything you'd ever want to do with courts in it. And they have the Legal Aid Society, which takes up like, you know, one half of a floor of this place. I thought surely they would know what to do about an amendment to a joint family claim. So we go there, and you probably heard about this, but the woman was very unhelpful. She felt like we were doing some egregious thing, having two people. Oh, it was just so confusing for her. And she seemed to be just wrought with unrest about what we were attempting to do with this document amendment. So she was no help. So we wait another week or whatever. You know, all these things take time because I have to work for a living. And I can only do these things on, you know, on my days off. So I go and I see the guy that I was counseled to see the first time. And I go and I wait my turn. I get in there, and you wouldn't believe it. The guy said to me, "Oh, yes, of course, no problem. Let me consult my book of legal jargon." He goes, flips through this book, which was the size of a Bible, and he, you know, licks his finger and is flipping pages, and he goes, "Aha, here it is," he says. And he writes, "So here's what you need to do." And he wrote out on my paper everything that I had to put and gave me all the details. Make sure everybody initials this, underline these things in red, and that should be sufficient. So bing, bang, boom, 10 minutes later, after dealing with someone who knew something, I was out of there, and I had went home to submit and change all my documents and draw up the new papers. I will tell you, this is like the third or fourth set of papers I've drawn up. And we're going so that was all good. So then we go back to Dad, and we get the one-week wife to sign this amendment and all this stuff. And, you know, dealing with the court people, it's like you walk in there and you get the reaction from the desk clerks like you've just killed their firstborn child or something. You walk in there and they're like, "Oh, what now? Another customer? Somebody who wants something from the legal system? What do you want?" So you get this most miserable attitude from people. From the court clerks, like, I don't know what they're doing to these court clerks, but they certainly appear to have a horrible and distressing work life, because they're all miserable. Usually when I go to the court clerks and I submit my papers, they sneer at me, they tear my documents, which I've so carefully stapled together and organized, they rip everything apart, and they, "No, that's no good, you can't do that, you gotta do, this is not acceptable," and they send me away. They don't tell me, "This is what you need to do, this is why it's not acceptable," they just say, "These are no good." So here I go in my new documents in hand, fearing for my life. You know, I've done all the amendments as directed, indicated by my friend who fucking knew what he was talking about. And I take them in, and I walk up to the desk, and I stand there for like 3 minutes waiting for someone to acknowledge me, react, "Hello, may I help you? Is there any..." You know, nothing from deadpan, sneers and glares from the court clerks. And finally, a girl comes up from I don't know where she came from. She certainly wasn't one of the sneering people. Anyway, she takes my documents. She barely looks at them. She stamps them. She hands me back my copies, and away we go. So I made it. I passed the test, as far as I know. However, you know, the judge has not seen these. These documents have only merely been accepted by the miserable court clerks. So we have yet to see if we're successful. Okay, so, but now, given that we were successful in this, I will call it the second set of filings. Now we go on to the third set of filings. So today is a very big day, Pinkies. We're going to get the 1 week wife and my father together, and we're headed to a notary to get some other documents signed. And so I've got all my five sets of documents for signatures all ready to go. We're going today. We're going to submit them. We're going to get everything signed and notarized. And then we're going to submit them to the court, and then we wait. If they'll accept them, we'll have to see whether they accept these documents or not. So it's a very exciting day. I could very well be finished today with this divorce after waiting 3 months to receive the final answer. So wish us luck. Okay, now, more important than divorce documents is we have a question about cars from the Laughing Buddha. And here is his question. Laughing Buddha.
Hello, Fade Driver. This is the Laughing Buddha. And I have a Pink Wheel Nuts Garage question. Mm-hmm. Cue the music.
There's no music.
So as you know, I have a Fiat 500.
Fiat.
From 2013. And recently, I had to replace the headlamp because one of them had gone out. And fortunately, I found a very helpful and instructive video on YouTube on how to do that. It was very helpful and saved me some money. But what I want to know, Faye Driver, is why was my headlight so bloody expensive? It was $29.99. That's $30 US for a plain, simple Sylvania 9012 55 watt headlamp. Why are these things so expensive? It was the most expensive one on the shelf, as a matter of fact. So can you clear that mystery up, or do I have to buy a case, or how can I get these cheaper? I even looked online and it still was really expensive. So why are these things so expensive, and how long should they last? Thanks, Faye Driver.
All right. Thank you, Mark, the Laughing Buddha. Well, I can only surmise, Mark, that maybe one of two things why they're so expensive. Either you're getting hit by a super large markup by the dealer. I don't know if you bought it at the dealer or at a store, a parts store. If you bought it at the dealer, I could see why it might be more expensive than anywhere else. But what my only guess is this, is that if it's an unusually small bulb, and it's a 55 watt, I mean, that you're absolutely right. A 55 watt Sylvania bulb is nothing special unless it's particularly tiny. And I would have to look again at the headlight configuration for your Fiat 500 to see if the headlamps are particularly small. But honestly, I don't know why. I mean, that's the only thing I could think. If the bulb is particularly tiny, it must be harder to make for some reason. It could be the the mechanism that connects it into the headlamp assembly, maybe, I don't know. Honestly, I'm only guessing here. But that's my guess, Mark. And what do you do? Do you buy a case? I would say no. I think you're better off to just buy them as you need them. However, you should know these even the halogen bulbs, they do grow more dim as they get older. So you might find that your new bulb is a little brighter than the original bulb. And I think a bulb should last. I think a bulb should last the life of the car, honestly. You know, I think it's just a fluke. The reason these bulbs burn out is because of flaws in the manufacturing process, by and large, or if you have a particularly rough jolt, hit a large bump when the lamp is on, that can cause it to break, but really these things should last forever. So hopefully you'll only have to spend that $30 this one time, and you'll be good for the rest of your life. And you should feel proud to know that your bulbs are so expensive because you have such an elite automobile. Congratulations, Laughing Buddha, and thank you for the call. All right, now, as you can tell, I'm on the freeway, so I'm going to I'll log off here for now, but I'll come back to you after we've finished signing all these documents, and I'll let you know exactly how successful we have been. All right, in a little bit. Bye-bye. Well, lo and behold, we have had success, I believe. So, we gathered together the two claimants in the two parties who no longer wish to party together, and we got them the documents all signed. Everybody was very happy and cheery and pleasant to each other. We have submitted the documents to the courthouse. The court clerk has reviewed the documents, has accepted the documents, and given me my copies and sent me on my way for a cost of $80. And now we wait, Pinkies. We are 3 months away from closing the book on this divorce. And I cannot tell you how excited I am. Let's hope nothing is rejected, because that would be very frustrating, anger-inducing, and defeating. So we're hoping for the best, and we can bring this chapter to a close. Then what's next? Then I can start getting my father into a home. Maybe that'll be my next project. I don't know. We'll see about that. So anyway, we're done. The divorce is done. We should crack a bottle of champagne. Oh, I hope it goes through. I'm sure it will. I'm sure that I've done my due diligence. Anyway, enough about that. So hey, I want to just say a couple more things. Congratulations to Musing Mark for purchasing a condominium apartment in Seattle. So I guess they're going to be staying there. I kind of thought he might be coming, wanting to get back into Canada after all the situation with the government there and the president. But I guess he's stuck to his guns and he's going to stick it out. And also, speaking of Musing Mark and his brother, the fantastic Midwest Matt, I certainly have been enjoying the podcast of Midwest Matt. If you're not listening to that, look for it on iTunes or in your podcast aggregator. Just a lovely little gentle soul of Matt. although he did squirt his husband with cat urine. And I want to know, Matt, if you're listening to this, I want to know, did you get a fine? What kind of restitution do you have to pay for passing all the school moms in the school zone or whatever it was from that police incident? You certainly seem to have a lot of run-ins with the cops. So I'm curious to know if you were fined or let off with a warning. Did you tell us? I don't recall. Because you've been pushing your luck, I think you got let off with a warning from the last altercation you had with the police. So, inquiring minds want to know. Speaking of inquiring minds, I had a question from that Peter G about all-wheel drive versus four-wheel drive, and I did address it on the Lost Big Fatty episode. But I'm gonna discuss it again. Peter asks, what is the difference between all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive? And the difference is like this. A four-wheel drive system, you have a lot more control over it. It's a little more manual activation where you need to press a button or shift a lever. And the four-wheel drive system is a lot more robust. It has a lot more gears and boxes and transfer cases and such, and the drive system that goes to the front wheels is a lot more hefty. I just have to accelerate violently here to get into the freeway traffic. There we go. Sorry about that. And you are actually in control of it. So you can decide when to turn on the four-wheel drive and when to leave it in two-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive. And the difference of that with all-wheel drive is with all-wheel drive, you really don't have any choice at all. And in many systems, the all-wheel drive is always on. It's sending power to all four wheels of the car. Some more complicated systems will decide on their own. They'll detect whether one particular wheel is spinning or not, and they will decide whether or not to transfer power around, move power from the slipping wheel and send it to the non-slipping wheels. Those are some more complicated all-wheel drive systems, but typically speaking, an all-wheel drive system, you can't turn the button on to make it all-wheel drive. The car decides for itself. And the all-wheel drive systems, they have smaller components. They're not as robust. It's more or less just like a front-wheel drive system that you might have in a normal sedan, with the addition of rear-wheel drive power as well. So it's a lot simpler. And the driver doesn't have to make any intervention into the system to make it work. Whereas with the four-wheel drive, obviously you decide whether you want it on or not. The four-wheel drive systems don't really like operating on dry ground. They're basically designed for very slippery conditions, such as snow or sand or rocks and gravel and that kind of a thing. Or if you're, you know, doing four-wheeling, rock climbing, or running through the bush, because they don't wear well against the pavement. Whereas an all-wheel drive system has a lot more clutches and things, and it doesn't really care where it's driving on. So I hope that answers your question, Peter G. All right, so I guess this is a short little episode today, so I think that's going to be it for me. I am the Fey Driver. You can email me at podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com. I'm going to celebrate the final documentation of my father's divorce. So there, have a lovely day. Bye-bye.